you, I know, love worship and really use worship as a tool, and it's a blessing in your life. And that is awesome. But some of us, it doesn't come as easily. So why is it that that is a challenge for us? And I've been spending some time this last couple weeks, and specifically this week, just thinking about what is it that stops me? Is it self-awareness? Is it being self-conscious? Is it wanting to look like I've got everything in the right order and I'm conservative and I'm, you know, reserved and I don't want to look silly in front of other people? I don't know exactly why that is. I haven't put my finger on it yet, but I can tell you this. Just in the simple act of practicing worship this week and preparing for today has been such a gift. And I think maybe a shout of praise is something that, as we look at it, maybe this is something we can incorporate into our own time of worship. You know, we all shout for different reasons. Sometimes, if you have children, you know shouting better than others, right? You shout out of frustration or anger. Sometimes you shout in celebration because a team you like does something great. Sometimes you shout just because you're excited. You're happy to see an old friend. So you shout hello. You are excited to see them. Sometimes it's sadness and grief that can help that can lead you to a shout. Sometimes it's just being happy. And sometimes maybe it's even worship. But shouting is not something we can just manufacture. It's not something that you just say, I'm going to just start shouting. And emotionally connect to that shout. Shouting is something that has to be moved inside of you, and you have to be stirred in a way that it leads to a shout. Again, with anger, something happens inside that causes that outward expression. In happiness and in love, there's a movement inside of you, and there's something that's stirred, and your heart is moved, and you are caused to shout. I wonder if we're being stirred regularly, if we're engaging our heart in that way. Is that something you're doing with the Lord in worship? You know, collective worship is great. Here on Sunday morning, it's so good. But worship needs to be intimate and between you and the Lord. And a lot of times in the scriptures, when we see people worshiping, it's them throwing themselves at Jesus' feet. And it's a connection between him and them. And that's it. Just the two of them. It's intimate. It's personal. And so I would just challenge you that maybe, and I think this is why I've experienced some blessings this week, is just practicing. I've been practicing worship. And it's felt a little funny at times. Sarah has challenged me and said, you've got to keep doing, trying. It takes practice to engage. It's a relationship. This is not a religion we're talking about. It's a relationship with the Father. And so it takes practice just like any relationship, and it's not easy. It's like reading the scriptures. If you read the scriptures once out of every 10 days or 2 weeks, you're not going to get a lot out of that time. You might get something, but not as much as if you are regularly in the scriptures and you are dialed in and really connected to the word, and it is so life-giving as you do it regularly, incorporate it into your life on a daily and hourly and, you know, moment-to-moment basis. It's the same with worship. We can't expect to come here on Sunday mornings and be moved and stirred into a shout of worship, into dancing and jumping and running up and down the aisles and putting our heart in the right place with the Father. It has to be something we're doing more regularly and intimately alone with him. And so that's the challenge for me this week and for you. And sometimes we don't feel like it. You know, in the Psalms, I don't know whether it's the author of the Psalms or if it's me and where I am in my place, but oftentimes when I read the Psalms, it feels a little bit like, you know, the author, the psalmist, is trying to encourage himself and convince himself to worship. Let's look at a couple. Psalm 98, verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. My lips will shout for joy. It's not I am shouting. It's I will shout for joy. I will praise your name. We will do these things. We will burst into jubilant song with music. I'm not singing right now, but I'm going to do that. It's like I am trying to get myself to agree and to get to that place where I am able to do it. But sometimes it just takes effort and energy and practice and work. Psalm 66, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Now, these were created to be songs. And so when they're being sung, it takes on a different meaning than if we're just reading them aloud, right? And so that's why sometimes when we're in these moments of worship, the music and the words can just move us in a different way than just reading them on the page. Music is important. We were created to enjoy it and to move and to be filled and stirred by music. It's just part of how we were made. Some of us more than others, but it's how we were made. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Today, if only you would hear his voice. That, to me, sounds like a plea, a cry for the Lord to connect, to meet us. Today, if only you would hear his voice. I need you, Lord. Come, please. That's a cry. I have a friend who's gone to be with the Lord. He was a very instrumental person in the life of my family, my mother. He was my grandfather's best friend, and they did ministry together for many years, and he was amazing. You'd sit with him, and the amount of scripture he knew was off the charts. And I heard a story that maybe I've shared before, but I think it's applicable for today. He said that he used to wake up in the morning and just not really be feeling it. And so he'd get in front of the mirror, and he would recite scripture to himself. And he'd just keep going until he got to a place where he said he believed it, he trusted it, and he can move on with his day. But it took effort, and it took time and work. And it wasn't something where he woke up in the morning and said, the Lord is here, we're good. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's go. We're going to rejoice. We're excited. He didn't wake up that way, like some of us. He woke up and he felt a little bit heavy. And so he'd recite scripture until his heart was moved and he was connected to the Lord in a different way so that he could move on with his day. Are we engaging our hearts with the Lord that way? Are we working at it? Just like any other relationship we have in our life. If I didn't talk to my wife for weeks on end, or didn't even see her or acknowledge her presence, and then I saw her, we decided we'd go on a date, how well do you think that date's going to go? Not going to be good for at least the first little while. But if we're regularly engaging with one another, and we're on the same page, and we're communicating, and we're talking, and we're showing affection and love, and treating each other with kindness and acts of service, and thinking of the other throughout the day, and praying for one another, and just engaging in that way, how well do you think the date goes? We've all been there, those of us that are in relationships or in marriage. We experience it in a different way when we're regularly engaged and together. And that's the way it is with the Lord, in worship and in just simple relationship with him on a daily basis. It takes work, but this is a relationship. It's not a religion or just a good idea. And so, when we come to him, sometimes the best way to engage your heart is through an intimate and personal experience with him. I want to read Luke 17, starting in verse 11, where Jesus has an encounter with a group of men. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they were going, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Another version of this, or a different version says, shouting praises to God. He came back shouting praises to God, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner," or in other versions, stranger, this stranger? Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." This one out of the 10 had the right response to Jesus. He engaged in the Lord in the way that we should. He's healed. The Lord has met him where he is. And oh, by the way, he didn't have to be healed before he comes to approach Jesus. And in other versions, in other passages in the scripture, we find Jesus actually touching lepers before healing them. Jesus is not afraid to engage us where we are. He's not afraid to engage us in our dirt and our shame. And so sometimes I think we are hindered in our worship and in our praise and in our engagement with Jesus because we feel like, well, we're not really in a good place today. So he doesn't, these are empty words. But that's when I think in some ways it's the most important to engage in worship. Because he wants to engage us there, he'll meet us there, and he, in relationship with him, everything has changed. Our heart, our life, our physical body, everything has changed. And this leper was the one out of the 10, the stranger of the group, the foreigner, has the right response to what Jesus has done in his life. He comes and throws himself at the feet. Are you throwing yourself at the feet of Jesus on a regular basis? Are you engaging your heart enough to know that what he has done for you is worth you getting on your face in front of this man, this creator that came from the Father, left his Father in heaven to be with us? He took our sin upon him, died on the cross for us, and raised. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the firstborn from among creation. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That is who we are throwing ourselves on the floor in front of. Are you doing that regularly with Jesus? Because if you're not, then coming here on Sunday morning and singing a few songs will not move you and stir you and change your heart. It might a little, but it's not going to meet you in the way that the Lord is really waiting and expecting you to meet him. We need to be doing this regularly in personal, private time, intimate time with him alone. One of the best moments of my day is coming home from work and walking in that door. When I open that door, my 4 daughters go berserk. "Daddy's home, Daddy!" They run wherever they are. They hear the door open and it's pattering of little feet. "Daddy!" And the baby, Faith, is going like this. "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." What does this look like to you? She's just desperate for me to pick her up and to grab her and to put her in my arms. And that's what the Father wants to do with each one of us in praise. That's how he wants to connect with us. And here's what's so great about praising the Lord. And that 1-minute interaction I have with my kids every day. And one day that may change and may stop. And I don't know why that will. But those of you that have older kids, it does stop from time to time, right? And there's a season when it happens, and then it's all of a sudden it's gone. Let's not let that season pass for us with the Lord. Don't get to a place where you're so comfortable with him that you're afraid or insecure or you don't feel like going home and saying, "Daddy!" And engaging with him in worship and praise. You know why that's such a great moment for me? 2 reasons. I love that they want to be with me. I love that they want to spend time with me. They want to see me. They've missed me. They love me. But you know what else it shows me? They know that they are mine and that they are loved completely and unconditionally. And they are so free. There is no thought in their minds, their little brains about, I don't want to look silly in front of daddy. There's no thought of that. They'll shout as loud as they can and run from wherever they are in the room. And when we engage our hearts with the Lord in worship, and again, this is something I'm learning, people. This is not something I'm telling you you should do, and I'm really good at it. I am learning this every day. I'm trying. But when we engage ourselves with Jesus in that way, not only does he delight in it and appreciate it, but we learn whose we are, whose we belong to, who we belong to, and how much he loves us. And he is so desperate to show us and to tell us and to wrap us in his arms. He wants to engage with us that way. Are you doing it? Are you moving your heart that way with the Lord on a regular basis? I'm going to read a couple passages I just think that are important for us to hear, because Jesus is worthy of praise. He has done great things, and there are passages throughout the scriptures, all over the scriptures, that speak to how worthy he is. Isaiah 12, verse 4, it says, In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. He has done glorious things and continues to do it. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Know that. Know that the Lord is God. That takes work and effort to know that and to believe it and to trust it. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why do we do this? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. He is worthy of praise. And we're going to be people that praise the Lord. I want to be a man that praises the Lord unapologetically, unashamedly. I don't even know if that's a word, but I want to be unashamed of praising the Lord. I don't want to be hindered by my own self-importance. I'm okay looking a little crazy. You know why? Because he is crazy for me. And the more I get to know that, the easier praise is. The easier it is to connect with him. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear what he's trying to tell you? How much he loves you? What he thinks of you? That when you run to him and raise your arms, Daddy! Shouts of praise. He is so excited to just engage with you in that way. I want to read a couple passages, and I just want us to be quiet before the Lord. And however you need to do that, do it. But I want us to be moved in our hearts this morning. I want us to engage in the Lord in a new and powerful and meaningful way. And so I'm going to ask you to just be quiet, and we're going to read some scriptures, and then they're going to play some songs, and we'll worship the Lord together. But let's be people that put Jesus in his rightful place in our lives and in our hearts. John 1. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. Praise be to God.
Stand with us as we sing that chorus.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Thank you.
after high school, I moved about 3 weeks after I graduated to Australia to be with Hillsong Church and to study the Bible and study music there. And Hillsong is a very charismatic place, and it was a wonderful year to study and to worship and see all these different types of worship that we've been talking about for a year, and be thrown off by some, practice in some, and it was a beautiful time. And after that year, I had about 3 weeks between that year and starting college at Wheaton College in Chicago. And Wheaton is more conservative. And my first chapel, I had never interacted with liturgy before or call and response or anything like that. And there was, in one of the first chapels, I remember where I was sitting, and the chaplain up front said, "God is good." And everyone responded with, "All the time." And I was like, I didn't respond. I didn't know that that was a thing to do. And just as at Hillsong, there was types of worship that I wasn't familiar with, and types of worship that maybe we're engaging in that we aren't familiar with. I was not familiar with that type of liturgy before. And in my first semester, little did I know that that call and response was going to be so formative and so important to my development at Wheaton and my time with the Lord. My parents filed for divorce in my first semester at Wheaton, and when there was that time of God is good, even though I knew what I was supposed to say, I couldn't. But it was such a powerful thing to have thousands of students around me shouting in Shabbat, "God is good." And there were times where I couldn't know that God is good. And I knew in my head that I was supposed to feel this way, but I wasn't moved in my heart, in the heaviness of my heart, to be able to say that and say that back. But in a few minutes, we're going to Shabbat, and we're going to do that same call and response, God is good all the time. And I would challenge us, in the first couple of times that we say this, we'll do it multiple times, that if we need to sit in a place and hear our brothers and sisters in Christ say all the time for us, and to move into our emotion and be moved to Shabbat before the Lord by the power of the Spirit, to also join in and say all the time, because we know that we will praise, we will Shabbat. And even in that time at Wheaton, where I moved from not understanding what I was supposed to say to not being able to be moved to Shabbat, to be moved to a place by the Spirit of declaration, that even in the midst of mounting health issues and a bad dating relationship and my parents' divorce and transition after transition, that I, by the power of the Spirit and by practicing and reciting to myself, God is good all the time, God is good all the time, that we can be moved to Shabbat. And I want to challenge us this morning in worship and in this time that we would Shabbat before the Lord as a declaration for ourselves, for our community, for the people standing next to us that have heavy hearts, that we would say God is good and respond with all the time. So let's do this. God is good.
All the time.
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 Let's worship.